always been very supportive of is really trying to make sure that we're getting some really deeper dives into things and covering communities that don't normally get covered. So that's one of the two of the primary reasons why we started the Racine County Eye.
Darren, what about you?
Well, I think it's interesting as you introduced us with the idea of sacrifice and planning and those sort of things, because West the Eye got started very impromptu after I was laid off by the Kenosha News and an economic layoff they went through in 2009, where they were cutting budget by laying people off. So it was very, and I needed something to do. So it was very impromptu in that respect. But kind of the idea had been brewing in Karen and I's minds a little bit, because of course we were getting warnings that things might be coming down the line. And I had come across a couple websites that I was looking at that were basically models for what we did with West City Eye, the Batavian in Batavia, New York, and West Seattle Blog in West Seattle, Washington. And I was kind of following them and had the conversation that, you know, with Karen that, you know, if I find myself out of a job, maybe this is something we should do. And so I guess that's planning in a way. But living in Western Kenosha County, we knew that there was, and even working at the local daily paper, knew that there was a deficit in coverage of Western Kenosha County. And so we kind of had our feel that, you know, we could fill a need there. And that's what we've been doing, trying to do anyway.
Darren, you specialize in West of the Eye still. Have you stuck with that? And how long has West of the Eye been in business?
It's in its 11th year, working on 12. We do pretty strictly adhere to Western Kenosha County news, and we don't really venture outside of that very often. Maybe during the pandemic, there have been a couple things that we thought were noteworthy of, like, oh, the mask mandate or the original stay-at-home order that we have, that wouldn't necessarily be strictly Western Kenosha County stories. But we do really try to stick to Western Kenosha County news exclusively.
What about you, Denise, the in Racine County, your Racine County Eye, are you focused on West of the Eye in Racine County, or are you focused on the whole county?
It's mostly Eastern Racine County. However, we will localize state and national news from time to time. So I was in on a lot of the governor's calls. And one of the things that is kind of really interesting is that Darren used to be my boss at the Kenosha News. So he's been around, and he was kind of my mentor and one of the sources of inspiration for me to start the news website, because I had, again, been laid off. I was laid off from the Kenosha News as well in 2008, ended up going back to grad school and really focused on web content development and audience engagement. And I got tired of being laid off also. So when I gave Darren a call, I'm like, hey, how are you doing this? And are you making money? And he's like, it's really hard, but you can do it. And I think when the perception of like alternative news does not necessarily mean that it's not professionally done and it's not run by journalists, because Darren and I both probably have at least, I've been around for 20 years and I'm sure Darren's been around for longer than that. But like when we thought about what do we need to do, I don't try to be the newspaper of record. I don't try to do that. What I'm trying to do is use my highest and best institutional knowledge that I have. And I think that's one of the biggest things. So if there are stories that are going on that I know that I can pull sources in really quickly, like specifically with the pandemic, we were able to get interviews with the president of the Medical College of Wisconsin and really build on that knowledge of trying to understand these really complicated things and help people navigate what that means to them going forward are some of the main focuses that we have. So we really try to serve the informational needs and wants of Eastern Racine County, but it certainly does sometimes apply to Western Racine County.
Well, I do think it's worth noting that in the case of both of your online news organizations, you both have real credible journalistic chops and you know what you're doing, which isn't always the case, but I salute you for that. Now, I wonder if you have any examples of coverage that you've made that you're particularly proud of, maybe where you scooped the mainline press, or maybe you covered a story in a way that you thought was especially good. Anything you want to brag about, Darren? I'll let you go first.
Well, I think it's Denise's, and I admire all the things that Denise is manages to pull together, and I would say that Denise is become one of the real, even nationally in our area, in our industry, a leader in enterprise reporting and those sort of areas that, I mean, they're hard. That kind of stuff is hard to do for a big organization, let alone a small one. So I give her kudos there. We kind of, while, you know, we're certainly alternative in the sense that we're not printed on a page, we have a very basic approach at West City Eye. We live up to paper of record, but we're kind of take that approach. You know, we go to a lot of government meetings and there are a lot of government and school entities in Western Kenosha County, because of the way the school districts are so small. And so basically our approach is often that we're reporting on things that nobody else is reporting on, because we show up. It's not necessarily that we have, taken on a big investigation or something. It's just sort of shoe lever sort of thing. But the pandemic has been one thing that I think we've been kind of proud of. We have, we were quick to report on the statistics, and that's evolved while it's gone on. And a lot of things countywide is as close as we can get. But so we do report on statistics countywide, but we were actually doing some reporting and analysis and graphing of statistics, you know, before the county, Kenosha County Division of Health was making those things public. We were just taking the raw data and doing the stats and reporting them, you know, out ahead of them. So we've been kind of proud of that.
Denise, so what would you like to brag about that you've accomplished?
I've been really blessed from the perspective of you know, there's a really large movement that, and Darren and I are both part of this local independent online news publishers group, which has been key in supporting some of the bigger stories that we've been able to do. And a lot of that is through grant funding. But one of the stories that we wrote in the spring was called Tipping Point, and it looked at with the city of Racine being named the second worst place for Black people to live. We looked at the number of people that are reincarcerated, not because they committed a new crime, but were reinstitutionalized because of violations of their extended supervision. And so we uncovered that there was about 45 to 50% of the current prison population that is incarcerated, not because they committed a new crime. So we're actually working on planning a whole new kind of bounce off of that kind of a project. So we just got a grant through the Solutions Journalism Network last week, and I'm in the planning process of looking at the impact of having that population out of the voting process. And when you're looking at people who are currently incarcerated that haven't committed a new crime, and also on what's called paper, that has a significant impact on who can vote and who cannot. And the off ramp of the policy of getting off of paper can sometimes take decades. So those are some of the things that we're working on right now. And I'm super proud that I get to do this work.
That's very exciting. Now, I think let's zero in just so people know how to find you online and on other platforms. Give us your URL, Denise.
RacineCountyEye.com. And then we are also on Facebook and Twitter on Racine County Eye.
Darren, give us your URL and how else we might locate your news.
All right. So it's west of the I, as in the letter I, as in short for the interstate, not the anatomical feature, .com, west of the I.com. And we also have a Facebook page and a Twitter feed too.
Now, I wonder what your business model is in terms of profit versus nonprofit. Are you both organized as for-profit businesses? You're mentioning getting grants, Denise, so made me wonder, it could be either for-profit or not-for-profit business can get grants. How are you organized, Denise?
So we're an LLC and we're for-profit. And one of the things that's happened over the last 18 months is there's been a major push because newspapers and a lot of other media platforms are on the decline with regards to staffing. But there's a lot of people like Darren and I who've been kind of disenfranchised from the legacy media. And so the number of people that are actually being staffed in online news is on the rise. So a lot of funders like the Knight News Foundation, Lenfest Institute for Journalism, they're all really saying this is the model that we want to start really supporting, because we don't have printing presses and paper boys and women, and we don't have that infrastructure, that real estate. And when you look at, you know, legacy newspapers, they've been saddled with a lot of debt. Our business model is really focused on, and this is done very intentionally. We're focused on solutions-based journalism. And that means that it's as opposed to conflict-based journalism. So with our news website and how our business model operates is that I want to do the type of journalism that is serving my readers. And that means that I'm putting resource pages together on mental health and all sorts of things that are going to help people live a better life. That's the kind of journalism I want to wake up in the morning and do.
My guest this morning on Community Matters, as we talk about the alternative online media in Southeast Wisconsin, are Denise Lockwood, founder of westoftheeye.com, of RacineCountyEye.com, and Darren Hillock, founder of westoftheeye.com, which serves Kenosha County. Darren, are you organized as a for-profit business as well?
We're a for-profit business as well, and we pretty much our business model, we're especially 10 years ago when we got started, we seemed new and cutting edge. We didn't print a product. We were only online and we were very local, and that was not something you were seeing and people were not familiar with or seeing. Our business model is pretty darn traditional. We most of our revenue comes from advertising. We also solicit but don't require voluntary subscriptions, so to get direct reader support. So we publish news. We news that's relevant to our readership area that attracts readers, and readers attracts advertisers. So that's basically, it's in our sense, we're not using a lot of high-tech advertising. We're basically, you know, running ads from local businesses and other entities that want to reach our audience. So that really sounds a lot like the old traditional media format for advertising, I suppose.
So to support Kenosha County West of the Eye.com, you telling people to patronize our advertisers and tell your friends to build our audience base, and we are programmed to accept money if you want to mail in a check to help support us.
That's a very good summary one.
is that well, we radio people like to boil it down to one sentence, you know.
Yes.
How about you, Denise? Is that your basic premise for visible means of support?
It's a little bit more diverse than that. It's not that we don't do display type advertising. It's just not the main source, because the data tells me that that's not what a lot of my advertisers are really into. So we're not going to stop doing display advertising, but we do, in addition to display advertising, we do some sponsored columns. We also are doing a fundraiser through local media association that is helping us through by using their nonprofit status. So there's a lot of creative things that we're being able to do. And the other piece of that is sponsored content as well. So like with regards to this grant funded, this prison story and voting story, I'm going to be going to some of the entities in town and saying, do you want to sponsor this? So it's really being able to also kind of connect people with the content and the relationship, right? So if I'm writing about development in housing development, I'm going to say to a real estate agent, hey, this is a really appropriate story for you to appear in. Would you like to sponsor it? And they say yes or no. And it's more logical. It's a lot. It was awkward at first to be able to think in business terms, because you're so, you know, I'm a journalist and you have that perceived wall, but when you're a solo, you know, entity, you don't have that luxury. So how do you make a living? And I've gotten a lot less shy about that.
I'll bet you have. And it sounds a lot like fundraising in the not-for-profit sector in a way. Now, you're both primarily online on the web. But the printed newspapers, Kenosha News, Racine Journal-Times, also have an online presence. Now, I notice significant differences between your online presence and those. What are those differences from your point of view, your online content versus what we're getting from the legacy printed newspapers online? Who'd like to tackle that? Darren, do you want to start?
Well, I mean, just my observation is that I think what's online from the print competitor is still mostly driven by the newspaper first. So, you know, I think, so I like to think that we're still in more places, covering more things in our given area than they are, because they only have so much space in the newspaper. I mean, I know they have the website, but it's pretty rare to see something that is on the website that isn't in the newspaper. So I still think it all kind of, their budget, news budget, seems to me like it all still works off the newspaper. But, you know, I'm not an insider and I really don't know, and I don't even look at it every day. So I'm not, I'm probably not a great authority on it.
What do you think, Denise?
So one of the things that I've noticed is that Darren and I both don't have paywalls. That's one of the biggest differences that I see. And that's done intentionally, because for me, that decision was pretty much a no-brainer, because the city of Racine has a 20% poverty level, and I want people to have the information that they need to live a better life. And that's what drives us as news people, right? So, you know, when I look at the story, it's really trying to also stay off of just what is the problem, but also how do you help people navigate that? So like with COVID, we put lists out of testing sites. We've put out resource lists around mental health resources, employment, those different layers, because you start to see, okay, well, we've got this issue with people not being able to work. So you're anticipating that information, want, and need of how do you get a new job? What jobs are there available? Things along that line. And I think that's where I don't try to be the newspaper of record. I want to work on that, building that relationship with my community. And it's not to say that the other places don't do that. It's I know where I want to be as far as owning the relationship that I have with people. Another thing that I think is different is user generated content. And I don't know that Darren does a lot of this. He may or may not. But for me, like, here's an example of what that might look like. So when the storm happened last week I was literally up in Crivitz 3.5 hours away. But one of the interesting things was that I had my staff. I have three people that work for me and a couple of freelance writers and photographers. So I was able to really get them to help me build out a really comprehensive like audio, video, and photo type of a package, where we had a slideshow where we literally had videos of so people could instantly see how this was impacting their neighbors. Okay. And then, so we had this ongoing dialogue and this relationship. And I think that's one of the reasons why the rest of our tag is Honest Conversation, is because I really want to value the experiences of my readers. And it's not to say that we don't mediate, because we do, but at the end of the day, if somebody has a video of their neighbor's car being crashed into, I'm going to post that if it's okay with them. But that's one of the other nuances that we do a lot of as well.
Yeah. User content is really useful, especially in times like Denise said, when maybe you're engaged in something else, or maybe you're not even in the area. So that's, yeah.
I have noticed that the online content of the Journal Times and the Kenosha News does seem to be strictly an almost afterthought to the print edition, and respects the reporters' schedules, respect the deadlines of the print edition. And so it gives you both the opportunity to beat the pants off of them, I would think, in terms of breaking news. Have you had that experience, Darren?
Well, like I said, I think, you know, if something's big enough, I think it makes in a breaking news respect, it makes their website right away. But it depends on what you think of as breaking news. I think that we're breaking stories all the time when we, you know, go to government meetings and we're going to report that the channel between Lake Mary and Lake Elizabeth is going to be dredged for the first time in 14 years. And, you know, people in Twin Lakes find that's big news to them and interesting to many of them who use the lake, and people who maybe don't even live in town but use the lakes. So it is, so that's a breaking news story, but that's, you know, that's our brand of breaking news story. So,
well, I think that's,
they have
very
some
important,
really formidable, I know fewer and fewer people on this Kenosha News staff, but I know they have some real formidable reporters who know our area, like, Jill Roselle and, mm-hmm. who's a native of Western Kenosha County, and Deneen Smith, who lives in Western Kenosha County. So they have some, you know, people whose skills I have to respect.
But if the news hole isn't big enough and they're not recovering the meetings, it doesn't get reported. And I just had one of the civic leaders of Kenosha that I was interviewing for another purpose talk to me offline. And he said, you know, Len, I'm very, very concerned that the committee meetings of our governmental units and their agendas are not being reported to the public. And unless people go and find in these abstruse corners of the internet these items and attend to them, people don't know what's going on, what's going to be discussed, and public opinion can't be mobilized for or against something that's important. I, as a former journalist, I have 2 degrees in journalism. Our listeners may not know that. And I've been a nonfiction writer all my life. I worry about that a great deal, that if the government is operating cloaked in secrecy, not because they want to be, but because no one's reporting it and the information is too hard to dig out, that isn't good for our civic affairs and for our democratic form of government. How do you feel about that, Denise?
That's a loaded question. It's hard, you know. It's hard even for me as one person. It's like, which meeting do I go to? Because like a year ago, all of what we were reporting was Foxconn, 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 and I have some logistical issues right now with which meetings do I go to. Right. So it's not like that's a small paper or a big paper problem. It's an everybody kind of problem. And, you know, the staffing issues are a national issue. And I think a lot of it, you know, one thing that is kind of the elephant in the middle of the room that we haven't touched on is this disconnect between our audience and the trust of media. Right. So how do we deal with that is a huge thing. So a lot, anybody can write anything on Facebook, but how do you make a really strong judgment call of what's truth and what's not truth and what's an opinion and what's not opinion, but also what value does that truth have is in direct relationship on whether or not you're going to support local news or not. And that is part of the thing that I'm always trying to kind of evangelize is my addiction to journalism, but really making sure that people know that if I can't go to that meeting, you need to help me figure out who else is going to go to that meeting that's a journalist, right? And really understanding and being very clear that journalism needs funded, right? That is one of the things that I am beating the drum hard on. And one of the reasons why I'm seeking out grants, but also looking for alternative forms of funding. And people need to pony up and understand that the news is not, it's not free to produce. It may be free to consume. It's not free to produce. So if I want to have a freelance writer sitting at a meeting, I need to be able to pay them for that time. And not only am I paying for that time, but I'm paying for that institutional knowledge. And I think that's where we need to, as journalists and as business owners, need to be very clear with the public about you need to pony up some support for this because it's really important to how you live your life.
Well, you're both right. The business model for traditional print journalism is broken. And the problems we're having, in my view, with the print newspapers are due primarily to that broken business model in terms of funding, but it produces some really, really troubling results. We're talking about the alternative online news media in Southeast Wisconsin with Darren Hillock, founder of West of the Eye in Kenosha, and Denise Lockwood, founder of Racine County Eye in Racine. My guests have been involved with the news and locally now for a very long time. You've been watching the Kenosha News and the Journal Times, which are both now owned by Lee Newspapers, which also owns a news outlet in Madison. They own some other news outlets in Wisconsin and, of course, nationally. Since the Kenosha News has gone to be a Lee Newspapers property, have either of you noticed any changes in the news coverage?
I, I honestly, this is going to sound really horrible. I don't pay attention to what's going on with the Journal Times, even though I have a very soft spot in my heart for the Kenosha News. I was there not once, not twice, but three times. So I always will have, that newsroom is very special to me. And I have a lot of mad respect for the people who are really doing the really great work that they do. So I'm not gonna, you know, it's hard to be in journalism as a whole, right? One thing I have noticed is that the Kenosha News building is no longer, you know, in downtown Kenosha. The Racine Journal Times just moved out of the city of Racine. I think those are definite flag posts when you're looking at the annual report of those businesses. They're having a really hard time because of a lot of debt that they have. And so from a structural standpoint, I focus on how do I grow my bottom line and do the best damn journalism I can. Because at the end of the day, that's what I'm focused on.
Darren?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear Denise say she doesn't pay that much attention to the Journal Times, because I was thinking I was going to be the one out there saying, I don't pay that much attention to the Kenosha News. But, and that's not a dig. That's just, you know, I'm focused on what I'm doing. I feel like I have our approach. And, you know, it's different. It's different. It's something I came to working on my own. I had probably several bosses along the way who were really big on read the competition and be up on what the competition's doing. But as I got into my own situation, I felt like, you know, I wanted to be on top of what I felt was the right thing to do. And that didn't necessarily involve being... reacting to what the competition's doing. So I really don't keep that close a watch on it. I guess I think the few things I've seen are probably things that are seen all over the U.S. as companies move from local ownership to corporate ownership.
Well, I'm not shy. I have great respect for the reporters at both newspapers, but they can only do what they're allowed to do in terms of time and money. I'll tell you what I've noticed. What I've noticed is that the layout and headlines being prepared, as I understand it, from what was said in the Kenosha News earlier at the transition in Madison, seems to have given an odd slant sometimes to the stories. I've seen headlines that seem to make no sense if you are a person who's a resident here. And probably the most unfortunate is stories that are, I would call, human interest stories, but human interest stories based from all over the chain. In other words, a lot of recycling of local human interest stories from other Lee newspaper properties that get run to fill up space because it doesn't cost them anything extra, but they're utterly irrelevant and I couldn't care less about them. I would rather that they pick up a story from the AP and tell me what's going on in the state capitol than run a story about what's going on in some Lee newspaper in Florida or Arizona that may be human interest but utterly irrelevant to anyone who lives in the state of Wisconsin. That is, that's my hobby horse. I wish they would fill that space with content that costs less and is useful to the public.
I want to jump in here for a second, because I think there's really something interesting going on within independent local journalism. So like the grant that I received, part of that solutions-based journalism grant is collaboration with other news organizations. And I think that's the movement that Darren and I are like, hey, this is really, we're figuring this stuff out, right? So what that looks like is when I work on this project, I'm literally pulling in other people, other reporters from other news organizations like Madison 365 and the Patch. I have an agreement with Patch to run stories on their site. And then also we've got a kind of very informal group of people like Darren and I. We were talking around like, how do we make sure that we're getting people what they need versus trying to do this I did it first stuff. I don't think that the community is served well when our only focus is did we beat the competition? No, did you serve your reader?
Right.
That's what Darren and I understand. But, you know, somehow along the line, that shifted. And so there's a really big movement going on specifically around solutions-based journalism of not only are you exposing some of the like some of the issues within systems, but what is the solution to that? What have other communities done around this problem? What is the highest and best thinking around this particular topic, right? Because we need to really help and enable our communities to have these painful discussions, to have these the ability to say, you know what, this might not be the solution for us, but that we might take elements of it, and being that platform for that. That's why I wake up in the morning and do journalism.
Well, that's really community-based collaborative journalism, the way I understand it to be. It's not picking up a story from another piece of the chain and just filling a news hole with something to surround the advertising. Now, I have a couple of quick questions for you each. Do you work with interns from the various journalism and communication programs in our local colleges and universities to get extra person power and to help train the next wave?
I actually had an intern from Gateway Technical College. She is actually a part-time employee with me right now. So Emma came to us as an intern. She had an associate's, she got her associate's degree in professional communications, and she's going to further that. And so she's been able to really help us get to that next level of what are we getting on the site. So she's actually doing the Hometown Hero and the business spotlights that we're doing.
That's great, Darren. What about you, Darren?
I have from time to time. Usually it's not even something that, you know, I'm out soliciting, but something that somebody has come along. Probably less so in recent years, but from time to time.
Can civic and community-based not-for-profit organizations gain access to your platforms to share their events and services calendars and to spread their messages? How would they do that, Darren?
Well, if they submit items, we will definitely take a look at it. If from non-profit organizations with a cause or something or other, it will probably be... you know, if it's well, oftentimes what we hear about are fundraisers and those things, we consider running those sort of things all the time. If it's something where it's a program and it seems like they're taking in a fair amount of money, we might try to push them into an ad for that. But that we certainly are open to that.
Do you have calendar listings, free calendar listings?
No, we don't have a calendar per se. We don't like the idea of a calendar. We like to try to keep everything in our chronologically arranged news feed. So we will print very calendar-like items, but we put them in there. And we kind of like this feel for the way that our website is arranged, that every story gets its turn at the top, if you will, for a little bit, no matter how small it is.
Denise, how about your organization?
Yeah, so we definitely have a calendar, and nonprofits can submit up to 2 listings for free per month if they're free and open to the public. If they're charging the public for an event, we only charge $25. So that's a really good way of being able to be a sustainable business, but also get a lot of nonprofits. We also have one of the things that we're kind of creatively doing is we have packages where with Zoom events, we can publish those. And like last night, I partnered with NAMI of Racine County, and we actually did we were part of the speaker series around social media and mental health. And so I love nonprofits, and I'm always willing to have a conversation of how to creatively get what they need to get, whether it's an ad, whether it's being part of a story series. I also know that I have limited time. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll do a sponsored column with them too.
Quick answer, Denise, yes or no? Can I place an ad with you for to sell personal goods and services?
Yes.
Darren, can I place an ad with you to sell personal goods?
Definitely.
And services? Yes.
What can we set you up with one?
All right. You're ready. You've got your order book out. I'd like to get a quick closing comment from you, Denise. How many subscribers do you wish you had in a year from now? Where do you want your subscriber list to be?
I love this question, by the way. I'm not going to lie. Right now, our subscriber list is about 150 people from a paid subscription, but we have 127,000 people that come to the news website every month. Where do I want that? Yeah.
What about you, Darren?
We're smaller than that. We don't have a subscriber list per se, since we don't have a newsletter, and our voluntary pay situation is, I don't know, it's just loose. You know, somebody sends in a contribution if they want to. We have some monthly contributors, but our traffic has really grown, has grown a bit this year after having plateaued, I would say, over the last couple years. But I think a lot of that has been interest in pandemic reporting and local pandemic reporting. So,
Denise, give us your URL for Racine again.
Racine County, IEYE .com.
Darren, give us your URL one more time, please.
Sure. West of the I, the last one being just the letter I, .com.
My guests on Community Matters this morning discussing the alternative online media in Southeast Wisconsin have been Denise Lockwood, the CEO of the Racine County I, Local News, Honest Conversation, and Darren Hillock, founder of West of the I, Western Kenosha County's news source. They are very, very good journalists. They're working hard to provide extra information for all of us in Southeast Wisconsin. I commend their output to all of our listeners. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, urging you as always to get informed, get involved, attend to the West of the I and the Racine County I, and be an informed citizen in your community. Good day.